Welcome to a midweek episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. We have these every now and then. Join Matthew Bivens and I as we talk about important life lessons, introversion, and a few other things coming right up.
Are you annoyed by affirmations? Are you tired of that same old rehashed personal growth advice that all seems to boil down to think positively and all your problems will go away? If affirmations feel like lies and positive thinking feels like denial, then I want you to get ready. The Overwhelmed Brain is here to help you create the life you want now.
Hello, welcome to The Overwhelmed Brain. I am your host, personal empowerment coach, Paul Coliani. I am here to help you increase your emotional intelligence, strengthen your self-worth and self-esteem, and empower you so that you can make decisions that are right for you. Everything my guest and I talk about on this show is our personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your mental or physical health. All right. Like I said, this is the midweek show. Matthew Bivens of the Having It All podcast is joining me today, and we are tackling a listener's email regarding life lessons and what do you do with your life when you reach a certain age and you still don't know what to do, and plus you have maybe issues with being an introvert, and that kind of puts a damper on things as well. It's a great subject, and it's something that I certainly considered, you know, in my 30s and even into my 40s, when life started falling apart, when I got a divorce, when I was losing all my savings, when I had to move across the country. All kinds of things happened when I thought I should have had life all together by then, but I didn't. It just started falling apart. Well, I had it together, but it fell apart. So this is a great episode for those of you searching for maybe what to do in your life if you're at that place where you're not sure what your next step is. And I hope you get a lot from it. I'm going to go ahead and play the episode that Matthew and I recorded in a coffee shop somewhere in Atlanta, Georgia. And I want you to join us as if you're sitting right there enjoying the conversation and absorbing the atmosphere and maybe drinking your favorite beverage. Our conversation coming up right after this. Here we are at the coffee shop again. Matthew Bivens is joining me from the Having It All podcast and the Doing It At Home podcast. Matthew, it's always a pleasure to do this with you. I'm happy when I see you, so that's a good sign.
All right, I'll take that.
It wasn't like when you go to work and you're like unhappy to see your coworker or something. It's like, oh, Matthew's here too. This is great.
Yeah, you know, I look forward to these conversations, jumping on the mic with you, because I get to learn a lot. I get to practice. And the stuff that we address in these emails are things that, you know, I think can relate to. We all can relate to on some level. So there's that sort of healing that happens for myself. And also, I enjoy hanging out with you.
Yeah.
And getting a chance to see you every couple of weeks is great. And
likewise. Thank you. And there is one thing that I really appreciate, is that we approach things slightly different with different terminology. We have different perspectives, and we have a different path in our lives, even though they're very similar and we're kind of walking along the same path, doing our own thing. In the sense, though, where you have a direction that you want to go with your life, with your family, with your business. And I think a lot of us are going in that same direction. And what's nice is that when people like us or any friends out there get together and you have similar life paths and similar life goals, it's that I can look at my life and go, this is how I achieved this. But then you tell me something that I have never tried or I've never considered, because you have different references in your life. You have a different history. So I think it's important when you find someone that you get together with that has a path that you appreciate.
Like, we could look at it and go, oh, we're all chasing after the dollar, or we're all chasing after the perfect relationship, we're all chasing after this. And I think if we go bigger picture, we zoom out a little bit, I think we're looking for comfort and happiness and some sort of less stress and somewhat of a peaceful life and somewhat of a more convenient life. Like, it would be a lot easier if life was just more convenient in a lot of ways. So it's nice to have, and I think this is why we get a lot of good feedback on when we do these shows together, is that a lot of us are on the same path to the bigger picture, the bigger vision of that. I just want more comfortable life. I just want a happier life. I just want some more peace in my life. And so you hear my perspective all the time on my show, and you hear Matthew's perspective, and then we get together, and you know, that's the compound effect. You hear more than, you know, you could hear as an individual. So I appreciate that too. I look at that as just something valuable that when people get together, you can bring to each other.
Yeah, I dig it. And I was listening to an interview with Sean T, the fitness guy, the fitness influencer. He did like the hip hop abs and different things. And he's big in that fitness scene, but he's also stepped into transformation work as well and coaching people, because that guy has experienced some very interesting things, some major traumas, you know, molestation when he was young and things like that. And he's been able to heal a lot of those traumas. And so in this interview, he's talking about how through all the experiences he's had in his life, he uses this metaphor of a backpack, and he carries his backpack with him full of all the lessons and tools. And so when he's running into new situations or something comes up, he can always go to his backpack and pull out the lesson, pull out the tool that works for him. And I've used something similar in my mind, just call it my tool belt. But I feel like when we get together and we have these conversations, you know, you give me new tools and you give me new things to put in my backpack. And, you know, we were just talking before we hit record on a process that you had outlined and shared in one of your episodes that it was resonating with people. And it's a process that now I can use and apply next time I'm stuck in a certain area. So,
oh, that's great.
It's I enjoy it. And I'm looking forward to diving into some stuff today.
I think it's a great segue for the email I just showed you. I didn't prepare you for this. So in all transparency, I have more forethought on this than Matthew does. But I'm going to go ahead and read this because it's an interesting email that really has to do with how I framed what we were talking about just earlier, or this will be kind of the pre-frame for what we're going to talk about now. And somebody who names himself Anonymous Introverted Guy says, "Hello, I appreciate the work you do for helping fellow human beings find meaning in life through your podcast medium. I've so far enjoyed a small handful of podcasts, mainly pertaining to life lessons and depression. You definitely come across as a kind voice, someone who's understanding and sincere." Thank you, Anonymous Introverted Guy. "The little nuggets of cheesy humor sprinkled throughout is much welcomed, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. Okay, if it were thank you for that I think if it were appropriate to make requests at all, yes it is, I'd appreciate just a sliver more of podcasts pertaining to life lesson topics. I'm 31, still confused about what I want to do in my life, still haven't quite matured out of my deeply introverted shell, and lost trying to identify who I should be as a person." While rereading this, I don't remember that part, so I'm going to have to think about this a moment as well. "Not having any true direction or spark to chase after something is probably what brings me down the most. Once again, thanks for your delightful work. Happy New Year, and may 2018 bring us all happiness and love." Well, thank you for that. Thank you, Anonymous Introverted Guy. I'm going to call you Joe because it's too long to say the other thing. And, you know, when I was 31, I hate to tell you, I didn't have anything figured out either. I remember being, I think Matthew was closer to 31 than I am.
I am 31.
You're 31. You're right on the target. So you can actually relate to this guy, but maybe in some ways, at least age-wise.
In a lot of ways, because as when I read the name, I'm like, oh, that could have been me writing this letter, because I in many ways consider myself introverted, and have, at least in the past, I've worked on breaking out of that a bit. But I still like my own space and being in my own head and kind of retreating at times. So I hear you. I get you.
I can relate to that too. What is a signed Matthew Bivens? Matthew, you're... All right, well...
That's the email address.
That is the email. No, I won't say that. No, thank you again for writing this and sharing this. And it's a great topic to talk about. As a 48-year-old guy, it's funny to think about. I'm 40. I feel like the same age as Matthew, but I'm actually, what, 17, 18? I mean, I'm older than him. I can almost, oh my God, can I be your dad? If I had you at 18 or 17?
At 18, maybe, yeah.
Oh my God, that's weird. I might have to cut that part out. That's just embarrassing. But as a 48-year-old guy, I can look back. Actually, I'm 48 this year. As a 47-year-old guy, I can look back throughout life and see or remember some of the things that I did in life that really changed who I became, how I showed up in the world, and you know, what made me happier, what made me more comfortable, all the things we were talking about, what made me more peaceful. And these are important life lessons that I would, like, if there is such thing as a reincarnation, I hope I was able to keep these lessons to my next life.
Yeah.
So if that exists, I am making that pact with myself to take these lessons so I don't have to relearn them again. Because this is some tough stuff, especially when you come out of a dysfunctional home, if you had any type of trauma, any type of abuse, any type of neglect, anything that really stuck with you, that you brought into your adult world, that you brought into your adult relationships, and that you just ruined a relationship that you didn't want to ruin. You ruined a job that you didn't want to ruin. You carry around hurt. You carry around pain. And there are things that I've learned in life, and I'm sure Matthew has as well, that really shifted my life. And Matthew, you said you could relate to this. Can you still relate to this person's perspective even today?
Absolutely. Okay, so before I came here today, I was having a meeting with my wife, who's my business partner, and two friends of ours, who they operate a business as well, husband and wife team, and they've been coaching us on different things so that we can take our business to the next level. I'm in the car driving with my wife, Sarah, and I'm also considering hiring a business coach for myself. And I'm talking to Sarah and I'm saying, I feel like I have all these different things and I don't really know what to focus on. So Joe, anonymous introverted guy, talks about, you know, not really having a true direction and just wanting that spark to really focus on. Just earlier today, like I said, like I have different interests, which I have pursued to a point and created something out of. But then I have this feeling, I have this story in my mind that there needs to be a single thing that I focus on and that I'm known in the world for that single thing. I think back to, I don't know the guy's name, but he started the foundation called Charity Water. Hmm. And I remember hearing his story where he was kind of feeling lost and doing all these different things in his life. And it took a few setbacks and breakdowns for him to figure out that he wanted to bring fresh water to developing countries. And for some reason, that story stuck in my mind as a person who found one thing and focused everything on the one thing. At least that's how I perceived his story. And that was sort of what I felt needed to happen in my life. That if I didn't have one single thing, if my purpose wasn't to make sure every kid had a pair of shoes or, you know, make sure that whatever it is, if I was divided or if I felt like I had multiple interests, then I was lacking direction. Mm. I still carry with me that story. So as I'm going through my life right now and I'm talking to a business coach who's here to help me level up and do the things I want to do, I'm still in this position where I'm thinking I don't have direction because I enjoy my personal development podcast. I enjoy my home birth podcast. I enjoy teaching people about podcasting. I enjoy coaching people on fitness. I enjoy running fitness classes. How could I possibly have, I obviously don't have direction and focus because I enjoy five different things and I could see each one of those different things turning into my quote unquote career.
Yeah.
So I can relate. And that's just on the direction side of things. I mean, the introverted stuff. I mean, holy crap. I spent my entire life, as far back as I can remember, withholding emotions, withholding as much as I possibly could from people, where they would be trying to dig it out of me and I was saying, no, 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 I'm not going to share. But inside, I just kept saying, keep digging, because eventually I'll share with you.
Mm.
And that grew into tons of confidence issues, extreme self-confidence issues. Me purposefully withdrawing, even when going to college, for example, having a friend groups and they would want to go out and do stuff and meet people. And I would create excuses for me to stay back, stay in my room, stay in my dorm.
Wow.
I'm now doing things today because I realized that, you know, I could be having rich experiences if I were to create some sort of comfort with being uncomfortable. If I could, you know, put myself in those uncomfortable social situations, then I'll work on that introversion, which for me, I feel like went back to that self-confidence conversation. So
yeah,
I can talk about that. Yeah. I can relate with that. And yes. So,
well,
I hear you.
A couple of comments. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I come from a very introverted place myself. I never saw it as much as I'm going to block my emotions or not express my emotions, although I think that's part of it. But I saw it as I just don't want to be around people.
I just
don't want to be around people because I feel much more comfortable in my own skin by myself. And it wasn't that I was afraid of people. And it wasn't that I had any trauma around being in crowds or anything like that, because I can go to a party and be the life of the party if I really thought about it. But it's one of those things where I heard once somebody say, so you're an introvert if when you need recharge time, you like to be alone. You're an extrovert when you want to be with other people and recharge.
Okay.
I think it's a good way to look at it sometimes, yeah. Because when you've had a long day, do you want to go home and be by yourself? Or when you've had a long day, do you want to be with other people and just have a good time? I don't know if that's the de facto standard that we need to follow, but
it's one way to look at it.
It's one way to look at it. So that was me, though. After a long day, I just want to be by myself.
Oh, me too. Even now being married, like there's times after a long day, like I just want to do my own thing and not worry about, you know, making sure that she's cool.
And I don't even stay up late anymore. So I'd like, if I was an extrovert, or at least I shouldn't say that, I stay up late a lot. I never go out late. It's like as soon as the darkness comes, I mean, regardless, we could talk about that for a long time. But a couple things that you said I really resonated with, which is one of the things about the charity water. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Charity water is the organization.
How finding that one thing. I always, like in my 30s, I really wanted to be a specialist in something. I thought it would be cool to be the guy that everyone came to and say, Paul knows that. Let's go to Paul.
Mm.
I think that, you know, it's a little ego in there, but that was how I felt. It's like, you know, I knew a lot about a lot. So I was a jack of all trades. I knew a lot about this technology. I knew a lot about this. I knew a lot about that. And so I didn't have much direction myself. So the fact that you said that made me remember that I wanted to be a specialist. What if I was the guy that was specifically the expert in this? Because when you're the specialist, then it feels more purposeful. It feels more meaningful. It feels like I know this inside and out. And when people come to me, it fulfills me in a way because they put their trust in me. Is that from over there?
Oh, okay. I think so.
Thought that was your phone. And that really was my direction. I was like, okay, where can I be a specialist in? And so I was in the IT field for a while. And then I decided to move into coaching and see what was that about, because I learned so much about human behavior and starting to heal from my own dysfunctional past. So what I would recommend to Joe, from everything that you just said, Joe, Matthew, I know you're not really Joe. I'm not. I think you are. But what I would say to him is that, what I would say to you, Joe, is that find a path that you desire most, first of all. And that might have to do with looking at what you value most. I talk about values a lot on my show. What you value most in life. Like, for example, I value
having time off to myself. So if I got a job or if I, you know, was around a lot of people a lot of time, then that value would not be fulfilled. So I have to look at that and go, okay, if we're talking about work, should I get a job that has a lot of people in it, that has a lot of interaction with people? Or do I, or am I kind of like a hands-on, by myself guy? I want to sit by my computer. That's something to know about yourself. You know, you look at your values and figure out what's most valuable to me. Because if, as soon as you come out of alignment with those values, then your happiness starts to wane. Then your comfort in life starts to wane. Then your peace starts to wane. And you don't feel as purpose, like you don't feel like you have as much purpose or as much meaning to your life because you're on a path that just seems like you have to do it instead of just doing something that you want to do. But sometimes you don't know what you want to do. Like you said, I'm kind of lost. I don't really know which, you know, what are my life lessons here? What should I be doing instead? I think it's important to just get in alignment with what you find most important to your in your life, and those are your values. I think that's a big step because that's your foundation. Once you know what's valuable in a relationship, I want to be respected. I want to be with someone who's honest. I want to be someone who makes me laugh. If those values aren't met, you're not going to be happy in the relationship. So if we're talking life lessons here, one of my life lessons is that I decided to figure out what was most valuable in each area of life and then stay in alignment with those values. By doing that, I've had to give some things up that I thought I should be doing instead. Which is interesting because here's a high-paying job that comes down the line, yet it doesn't meet my values for work. Yes, but it has a lot of money. And, you know, it brings a lot of money to me. I could buy anything I want. I could live in a bigger house. Yes, but will I be happy there? Who cares? I'll have this money. I'll have this house. So what I decided to do, instead of following the money, instead of following other things that weren't necessarily in alignment with my values, unless money is like your top priority, which is fine, but it wasn't for me. I wanted to be happy because I'm going to be working 8, 10, 12 hours a day. Then once I followed that path, it always turned out for the best. So if there was any question in my mind, like this is the wrong path to take, as long as it's in alignment with my values, if I followed it, then it would turn out better than I expected because I followed my values. So I think that's a valuable life lesson that I learned, is that you start following your values instead of what, and this is, I'm going to say this at a risk, instead of what you think you should be doing. Well, my dad was a doctor, so I should be a doctor. Well, will that make you happy? Does that in alignment with your values for career? Well, if it's not, then maybe that needs to be reconsidered. So I think that's important. Matthew, when you think about, I see you're right. I'm going to give you a second.
No, I'm cool.
Okay. Matthew, when you think about other life lessons that have happened to you that really shifted your life in how you feel inside and how you show up differently, can you think of something that you did that you would consider a life lesson that shifted things for you?
For me, if I was to... Intentionality. Hmm. I'm not even going to frame it. Being more intentional. And so what that looked like for me was realizing that things such as, what am I supposed to do in my life? What's my purpose? What's my direction? I would ask those questions and not follow it up with anything specific. I would ask those questions and then expect and want somebody else to answer it. So for me, being intentional about going out and finding those things that I found interesting, being intentional about uncovering, because I think it was a process for me to uncover what I felt lit me up, being proactive and intentional in those things really helped to set my ship in a direction. Because a lot of times I felt like I was just drifting around, you know, like a boat that doesn't, its motor is cut off, just sort of life took me this way and things took me that way. But, and I'll get real specific with you, Joe. Because when I read through, you know, when Paul read your email and I was looking at it, there's really two, maybe three things that stuck out to me. The introversion, which we talked about a little bit, but I have some other ideas on that. Figuring out what to do in life and then feeling like you're lacking direction or purpose. So I'm going to go out of order. For the what to do in life, a few things helped because I was asking myself that question all the time. Coming out of high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I had this belief, it was placed on me by all the people around me, that you need to figure out your major for college. And in my mind, that meant I had to figure out the rest of my life at 17. You need to major in something. So I went into college having no freaking idea. I picked engineering. My rationale, I enjoy math and I loved building Legos. I'm not kidding. That's really what sent me into engineering. I had no idea what engineering was. I had none. But to me, that's what I thought an engineer meant, and I needed to pick something because that's what I was told. You need to know what you're going to do. So I go into college, and for 4 years, I stressed about not knowing what I wanted to do when I graduated. I did it for 4 years as I watched my roommates specialize, you know, nurse, architect, optometrist. They picked specialties because, like you said earlier, Paul, we value specialists. If you can put some letters before or after your name. My dad's a doctor. He's Dr. Bivens. Oh my gosh, he's a doctor. Like, we love specialists. So I felt like I needed to specialize. Spent 4 years stressing, which got me nowhere, right? So it wasn't until years later that I started to adopt this new mindset of exploration. I can approach figuring out what I want to do in life partly through a process of elimination. Let me explore. Let me try things. Let me start saying yes to opportunities, because what I was finding was that my fear, I was judging myself for not knowing what I wanted to do. I had this fear about it because I felt like I was going to be lost and I was going to be a failure. And that really shut down any curiosity and any sense of exploration in me. Oh, wow. All of that stuff just, it wasn't there. So I started to slowly shift and start to explore and be curious and start doing things like trying different jobs, saying yes to different projects that came my way. And if something was presented to me, an opportunity, I would go for it. One of the biggest opportunities came in grad school. I went to college for 4 years, took a year off, didn't know what the heck I wanted to do, worked retail for a year. Then I figured, in the future, I'll be working in a business, so why don't I go to business school? That's what I did. Everybody else, okay, 90% of the kids in my class, business school to them was extending their college career another year because they either didn't know what they wanted to do or they didn't want to get into what they felt they needed to, which for a lot of them was law school, right? So you just kept putting stuff in our way. So at the end of my business school career, the TA for my class said, hey, we're hiring new interns. I have this brand new startup company and we're bringing on an intern. Is anybody interested? I recognized, hey, this is an opportunity. Somebody is giving me an opportunity to try something new. I have no idea if I would like working in a tech startup. Let me try it. I said yes. And the rest of my, that took me on a completely different path. And where I am today and the stuff that I'm doing today, hosting podcasts and having my own business, has so much to do with being open to saying yes to something unknown.
That's great.
So for you, Joe, figuring out what you want to do in life, first of all, remove that pressure. We're all still figuring that stuff out. I mean, like, we're figuring that out. It doesn't matter what age you are. There's so many stories out there of, like, Colonel Sanders, who cooks his first piece of fried chicken in his 60s. And we know him as a KFC guy. He didn't get into that until his 60s, you know, and there's stories like that all over the place. So do your best to let go of some of that pressure and then start to explore different things. Go to meetup.com. There's groups for anything you're interested in.
Yeah.
And just go check something out. You might meet somebody or something that sparks an interest in you that you didn't even know was there. You maybe didn't even know it was possible, but it's part of that process. And in that process, you will also be addressing the introversion.
Yes.
Because me suggesting you go to meetup.com probably scares the crap out of you. Because if you're like me and you're introverted, the idea of stepping into a group of people that you've never met before is terrifying. And I know because I'm working on that. And I hate networking. I get terrified, even though I'm great at it.
I like what you said about exploring options and just saying yes to things. I think I did that. I didn't do that enough in my youth.
Yeah.
I didn't do that enough. I started doing that in my as I reached my higher 30s,
right?
My lower 40s. And so, you know, Joe's at a position in life where he's 31. I remember when I was 31, I had nothing figured out. I was just happy if I had a job and a relationship. That was
there you
it.
Go.
That was my goal. And, you know, you look at that and you go, well, if that's what your goal is, you could actually be happy. I have a job and I have a relationship. If that's your goal and you get those things, then okay, maybe that's all you need. But I think, like a lot of us, we seek more. We want to expand ourselves. We want to grow. We want to grow personally. We want to grow emotionally, mentally. Hopefully, a lot of us do this and want to do this. So how can we do that? We need exposure to more experiences.
Yes.
And I love, you know, like there's software called Rosetta Stone.
Oh, yeah.
It teaches you language. There's something I learned in the Rosetta Stone that I've kept for years and years and years. And they said, we teach language. This is not an advertisement for Rosetta Stone. I have no affiliation. But they said, we teach language through immersion. I was like, immersion? That's interesting. And then the first thing they taught was, and I don't know the language anymore. It's nothing against Rosetta Stone. I just never followed through with it. They taught me like the color red in Spanish, I think it was. Was that rouge or is that French?
Rojo?
Is that it?
I think it's Rojo.
Well, they show like four pictures, a red car, a red apple, you know, a red dress, and all these different things. And what they're doing is they're tying all these aspects of red together. Oh, you just looked it up, red, bro. And when they do that, then you connect the visual, you connect the auditory, you connect this. And it is a total immersive process for your senses, really what's happening. So you're learning experientially. And when you learn experientially, you tend to remember it easier. It has more of an impact. It comes more natural. And so I like the idea of exploring things. Instead of just going, I'll look online for something to do. Oh, look, it's people canoeing. And then you go, okay, canoeing, I've never done that. I don't know about that. You don't know anything about it at all until you've done it. And when you do it, now you realize, it's not just about floating around in the water. I have to learn how to do this, and it has to be a certain way, and I'm learning about balance, and I'm connecting with people. And there's all kinds of things that can happen just by exploring one single path. So I really just want to reiterate, I really appreciate that suggestion, Matthew, for the mere fact that an introvert, especially, may not be that type of person that goes out and explores these things because of, I don't know how to do that, or I might not be good at it. And I love often putting myself in situations that I might not be good at, or I actually may look like a fool.
Because
my girlfriend's a musician. She goes on stage. She has no problem doing it. I've played harmonica since I was 16, and I've always done it for myself, by myself, in front of no one, except maybe my girlfriend. What is that noise? Is that coming
it's
from
something
us?
Something in here. It's
coming from you.
It's my alarm.
That's funny.
I thought that was that kid's toy.
Me too. And then I heard it a second time. I turn around. And I'm like, the kid's not here.
That's funny. Let me shut this down. Remember what I said so I don't forget. All right, I hope it's shut down. If it comes on again, I'll just shut it off. Sorry about that.
By the way.
Oh, we have to wrap up really soon. So what I was saying was...
being on stage?
So yeah, she's a musician, and she has no problem going up there. That's what I said. She has no problem going up there, and she said, I want you to play with me on this song. I was like, this is a couple years ago. I've never played on stage for anyone. I think I did when I was like 20 something, and I played for this really chintzy band that wanted a harmonica on one song, and I didn't care because I had a judgment on it, and it didn't matter. But
Since then, I have never wanted to, I never considered doing that. So she invited me on stage to do this song, and it was at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Nice.
So my first time on stage would be at the Hard Rock Cafe.
That's cool.
And it would be like, I don't want to do this. At the same time, and this is a philosophy I've developed, if I don't want to do it, I should.
I have the same philosophy, man. I really do.
Wow.
It creates shift quick. It creates opportunities for breakthroughs.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. I said, I don't want to do it, therefore I should. And so I really like that philosophy. That has shifted a lot of things in my life. Just putting myself on the air. I remember the very first day I was behind a microphone and I had to do my very first podcast episode. No problem. I can talk in front of crowds. I can talk in front of people. But putting myself behind a microphone where no one's in the room. I mean, it would be perfect for an introvert, right?
But
I was so nervous.
Yeah.
I was so nervous and there was nobody else there. And so I'm like, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to talk about. Okay, I could talk about motivation. You know, all these subjects could come to mind. I couldn't figure out what to do, but I just decided to do it. This is like a conversation Matthew and I had once. It's just like, you know what? Just talk. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, then talk about not knowing what to say.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I'll just sit here behind the microphone not saying anything, I guess. Well, how does that make you feel? I'm talking to myself. Well, I feel nervous. Talk about your nervousness. Whoa. So I started doing that more and more, and it helped with the mental creative block that I had. But like Matthew said, it helps you shift. Because before that moment, I didn't know what to say. And then I knew what to say just because I did it. So I think that's a great, valuable lesson. And I'm going to share one more lesson. I think Matthew has a few things to say as well as far as life lessons are concerned. And there's like 1,000 of them that we could talk about. But one of the most important life lessons for me is when I started asking for what I wanted and telling people when they were crossing the line. This is all about honoring boundaries. When I told the world what was acceptable and what's not, when I started showing up and being really clear on what was acceptable behavior for you to do around me or with me and what was not acceptable behavior, my life changed. And that was the biggest, scariest step I've ever taken in my life, to be able to speak up for myself to a boss, to a partner, to a drunk stepfather. I mean, all of these things have occurred in my life and more, where I've decided instead of cowering down to be the small little child that I felt like, and even though I still might feel like that sometimes, I'm going to step into the adult that I am, everything that I've learned, I'm going to apply and say, no, that is not acceptable. You're disrespecting me and I don't appreciate that. Could you please back off? I look at it as honoring myself by loving them while honoring myself. I look at it as loving them while honoring myself, because what I want to do is tell them, I love you and back off. That doesn't mean I love everyone. That doesn't mean I do it all the time. But that's the energy, that's the vibe I bring to honoring myself. So it's not about, hey, you know, you're a jerk and you stay away from me and defending yourself and being all protective, even though that's part of it. It's a matter of being, and I love what Cesar Millan says, the dog whisperer. It's a matter of being calm, cool, and collected, and assertive. He says, bring a calm, assertive energy to the situation to honor yourself. He doesn't say that, but I use his words. He talks about when you're training dogs and things like that. But a lot of stuff that he talks about works with us as well. So that's what I started doing, bringing this calm, assertive energy to every situation. So when it comes to honoring myself, it isn't about putting them down. It's about keeping me healthy. It's about keeping me protected, keeping me safe. And so that was probably one of my biggest life lessons, is starting to ask for what I wanted and letting people, what I mean was like, you know, I want a raise. Well, what if they fire you if you ask for a raise? I don't care. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to ask for. These are leaps of faith. I would take those leaps of faith and I have not had one experience where I didn't regret it. So I'm going to leave that as my final word. And Matthew, I know you have some final words too, and then we'll end the show.
I think what you said was perfect. I love it. I love it. And for me, it's been my experience that I can get into a place of being calm and assertive when I have clarity. And especially when it comes to what you've been talking about with being able to assert yourself, being clear about what you will stand for, what you won't stand for, being clear about what you said earlier, values. So Joe, that's where I like to start in the conversation, you know, talking about lacking purpose and not having direction. I say start with what Paul mentioned earlier, getting very clear about what you value. Understand what you those values are in your life, what they mean to you, and what's the order. You know, there's going to be some sort of priority to those values. I think from there, you can get to a place where those values are going to start influencing your decisions. And that's what Paul's talking about, being able to stand clear and assert yourself because you're saying, no, I'm choosing to align with my values. I'm choosing to value myself in this situation. And then using your voice, which I know as a fellow introvert is hard. It's hard to use our voice. But that's really where this stuff goes from just simply being an idea or something that you talk about, something that you write down, to something that you imbue and something that you become. Because when you start to speak it and you start to stand up for yourself, shift happens within your body and it's going to impact all those other areas. So work on getting clear on those values. I also like to do things, what I call standards. So coming up with standards for your romantic relationships. You know, what are the things you want to experience? What type of partner do you, you know, are you trying to attract? How are you going to show up in that experience? Standards for business partnerships, work arrangements, things like that. You know, Paul talked about being able to say, listen, I want a raise. And maybe a part of your standard is that you're compensated in a certain way. Maybe one of your values is like, you know, you value people who also value you. And so you're standing up for yourself. All of those actions, you asserting yourself, you being it, in my opinion, comes from doing that internal work beforehand to get clear on the values, to get clear on the things like standards. So I think that's the type of thing that I was never told. I wasn't told that stuff until...
No way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're told, like, go do this and get this degree and follow this path and you'll be happy and fine. But it wasn't until later on that I was introduced to these ideas of, wow, getting clear on my standards, creating a relationship standard. Like, my wife and I, we have a relationship standard. We have things that are non-negotiables for both of us, you know? And that stuff is beautiful because it means that when we get into some sort of conflict or something happens, we can remove emotion as much as possible and simply look at things objectively, like look at our relationship standard. Another thing is a personal mission statement. You know, once you have your values and your standards in place, you can begin thinking about how you want to tie those things into a statement, you know, a personal mission statement, something that declares your bigger why for this season in life. It doesn't have to be for your entire rest of your life, but maybe for this 1-3-5 year period of your life, you're planning for something big and you're writing it down specifically. All of that has really helped me with direction. It's helped me with purpose. And I'm actually going through the process right now of redoing my mission statement because it's been about 2 years. So I'm working with my coach, you know, like I have somebody like Paul in my life who coaches me and mentors me. And so that's a huge thing as well. Being able to connect with somebody who's been there, done that, and can help steer you and guide you. You know, I'm talking about a coach, like working with somebody like Paul who can help to ask the right questions of you and work on some of that mindset stuff. That's huge as well. And releasing this feeling like you have to do it all and figure it all out on your own. Because no one achieves anything great on their own. So that's what I would do with the purpose and the direction stuff. And then I want to go back to the conversation about what to do in life. And I was reminded when Paul was talking that I was reading an article yesterday on the website Medium. And the article was really hammering home this idea that we should all be spending more time learning. And they give three examples, which I thought was really interesting, because I think, you know, this conversation about exploring things in life, and, you know, I mentioned meetup groups, you can explore your interests in many ways, and one of them can be reading. One of them can be, you know, an activity that maybe doesn't create so much anxiety, like going out in front of a group of people. And so this article talks about President Obama, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett and their reading and learning habits while they were in their career. So it says that Barack Obama would spend an hour every day reading while he was in office. So for those 8 years, he would carve out 1 hour a day to read. That's
not
pretty
golfing?
Interesting. Yeah, right. Not golfing, not whatever else. Like, he would carve out that time reading because reading and learning was so important to him. Similarly, this article talks about Warren Buffett and says that Warren Buffett invested 80% of his time in reading. And you wouldn't think that. I don't think that. I feel like he would be in business meetings. He would be running stuff. But no, he invested his time in learning and reading and exploring new things in those ways. And then Bill Gates, it says that the article says Bill Gates read a book a week during his career. So these are people who are high achievers in every sense of the word. And they're investing time in exploring concepts and ideas through reading. So that's something you could also do. And I remember, if I think back, there was a time when I was doing that more often. And that's something I want to get into more today. But I think back to when I would just dive into a random subject and just explore. And it suited my introvert tendencies. And for me, I remember diving into coding. I thought it would be interesting to learn coding. So I found a free coding website and I enrolled in a course and I just jumped in.
You're talking about computer programming.
Computer programming. Yeah, yeah. So learning HTML and CSS and stuff like that. And what's so funny is what came from that is I realized I don't love coding, but I do enjoy designing websites. And so then I explored what tools were out there to make websites. And I stumbled across some of these different tools like Squarespace and Wix. And for a few years, that was part of my business. Because I got curious and I built websites for myself. And then other people asked me about those websites. So I started building them for them. And like that was something I did for a few years. But that all came from just having this curiosity and trying something out.
Yeah.
So I'm sharing all this with you, Joe, because figuring out what you want to do in life, it can happen in a lot of different ways. You could tackle the introversion thing and the what to do in life thing all at once and go and join groups and meet with people. Or you could simply carve out time every day to read books. You could also meditate. I think that's really a powerful way to get clarity, is when you stop cramming your head full of stuff and you just find some peace and quiet. Because a lot of times we do have the answers. But there's a lot of different options out there. And, you know, I think really the thing to do next is to just move in some direction. Pick one of the things we've talked about and take one tiny step towards it. And I think you'll start to feel like you have a little bit more control over your life and you feel a little bit more proactive, a little bit more in command. And then just ride that momentum. One small act can turn into two small acts, can turn into three, and then just keep moving forward and you'll be awesome, man. You already are.
Yes. And I'd like to reiterate, the reading books is a great way to learn something new, immerse yourself in what you're learning. At the same time, I do believe that, like you just mentioned, there's a point where you have an overload of information and you haven't done any applying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I did this for like 5 or 6 years. I read book after book on hypnosis and psychology and NLP. And I read everything I possibly can. I got certified. I went to classes. I immersed myself completely. But what was I doing? I was learning. So I love the learning aspect. It finally got to the point where I just stopped. I stopped reading and started doing. I might not have started doing for like a year or two. But I started doing because I had all the knowledge. I just had to trust that knowledge and go with it.
Yeah.
And be very experiential myself and do it. So I love the idea of that Matthew mentioned, both the external, the reading, the learning, and the internal, the meditating, the processing, the integrating that needs to take place after you learn. And then the external again of doing the behavior and having that form into whatever it needs to form into, shift into whatever it needs to shift into. Matthew started computer programming, and it turned into website design, and it turned into, who knows, podcasting and every other thing that he's had come up in his life. And then suddenly your path appears. Because sometimes when we expose ourselves to the same thing every day, the path doesn't appear. We're doing the same thing over and over again. We're never exploring anything new. Path doesn't appear. So, yes, there's a, what's the word, a pattern in what we're talking about today. It's a trend of exploring and immersing and being curious. And I'd just like to finalize this and wrap it up with something else you said, Matthew, which is value yourself. Because if we're looking at big picture, if we're looking at big level values and creating standards in your life and looking and writing up criteria and writing your mission statement, if it all comes from the same place of valuing yourself, what does that look like? And I think that's a great thing to end on, because if you make decisions going, okay, does this value myself? Because I tell you what, if you ask that question before you make decisions, then when you walk in to ask for that raise, you're not going to back down because you value yourself. So I really like that trickle-down effect, that filter that we create in our life, that once we know it and once we latch onto it, valuing yourself really helps you make all these other decisions a lot easier. There's some fear, there's some leaps of faith, but you stay on track. And I can't speak for everyone, but in my own life, every time I've stayed on track and valued myself, it's always worked out. I may have gone through some hard times. Matthew may have gone through some hard times, but in the end, it's just like I stayed in alignment with myself. I stayed in integrity with myself. I get to keep my dignity. I get to walk away smiling that I know I did the right thing for me. So I'm going to leave it at that. You can thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Matthew. Always a pleasure to see you. So glad you have time to connect and do this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. You can find Matthew at Having It All podcast and Doing It at Home podcast. If you've never heard that, go check it out, because it's that mysterious name that makes you wonder what it's all about. And thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again real soon. All right, thank you so much for listening to the show today. This is a midweek show, so it doesn't go through the normal outro protocol, if I can call it that, where I thank a lot of people and I tell you about the workbooks that I offer and I tell you about the patron program. I'm not going to do any of that. You can hear the regular show for that, but I would like to thank Kevin MacLeod for some of the music transitions in the Overwhelmed Brain. But I do want to finish this episode by telling you to keep an open mind so that you can step into your power and be firm in your decisions and actions, and that'll help you create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.